I hope you've had a good week. Have a few announcements this morning. Wanted to welcome you to Crestview Baptist Church. If you are a visitor, we'd love to know more about you. And so please feel free to speak with me after the service. I enjoy getting to meet you. Prayer time and work day will be Thursday at 5:30 here at the church. Also on Thursday, there is a WMU meeting at Joy Hicks's house. Do we have a time for that? 6:30. 6:30 at Joy's house. Picnic at the creek next Sunday. And that will be at 6. And also on Wednesday, we have activities for the children. And we also are going through a study of the book of John. And so please come and join us for that, as well as we go through the prayer list. You can pick up one of these. It's on the table just as you enter into the sanctuary, and be able to be in prayer for several that are on that list. Any other announcements that I'm unaware of? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you do for us. And forgive us when we take for granted things that you have brought to our lives, experiences that we've had, all because of you. Feeling strong even though our bodies are weak. Feeling down, but you somehow lift our spirits. When we feel alone, you comfort us and remind us we're never alone. We just thank you and praise you for who you are, and we lift up all these that are on the list and other unspoken prayers. And we pray for those who are going to follow Christ's example in baptism today, that we as a church can be able to uplift them and pray for them and be able to be good examples for them. We also lift up this worship service that would be for your glory and honor. For all these things we do pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Professions of faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask Thomas to come out to me first. Thomas is the first time I've ever been afraid somebody was going to do a cannonball into the baptismal. Because I love Thomas to death, but that would have been a good possibility, right? If you guys don't know this young man, this is Thomas Hicks. He is an amazing young man, and I'm going to tell you one thing I've learned about Thomas is he may like to be silly, and he may not always listen. Ain't that right? Do you always listen? But I'm telling you what, he loves the Lord, and we have talked several times, and so Thomas, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you choose to follow him always?
Yes, sir.
You do. So, on that profession of faith in Jesus Christ, hold my hand, like I said, remember? Like I said, remember? Hold my arm. There you go. Thomas Hicks, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, over here, I have Miss Caitlin Blanton. She's good. Caitlin has been baptized before. But this year at camp, I'm going to tell you, on our first day there, to see her just excitement for worship, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I took a lot of kids to camp, and I see kids get into it, but when I looked over on the first night and saw how into worship and God she was, like I knew like something special is going to happen this week. And it did, right? By the end of the week, she has decided that when she was younger, she didn't quite understand what it meant, and she wanted to be rebaptized. And so, Kate, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and promise to serve Him always? On that profession of faith, Kate, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. May all God's people sing.
Would you stand as we worship by singing to our Lord and Savior 384, The Bond of Love, 384. Would you stand, please?
We are one in the bond of love.
Continue to worship by giving of our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our many blessings. We thank you for being our Lord and Savior. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you. We thank you for this building where we can worship. We thank you that we have the opportunity to give back to you a small portion of what you have blessed us with. But Lord, if you will bless this gift and the giver, mighty things will be done with this gift. For it is your name, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Would you stand again as we sing hymn number 211, I Love Thee, 211.
I love thee, I love thee, I love thee, my Lord. I love thee, my Savior. I love thee, my God. I love thee, and that thou dost know. But how much I love thee, my actions will show. My Savior, He's Salem's bright King. He smiles and He loves me and helps me to sing. I'll praise Him with notes loud and clear, while rivers of pleasure my spirit shall cheer.
Amen. Thank you.
Can I get any kids that are here this morning to come down front? All right, I'm kind of excited about today because I was looking at what Pastor Don was preaching on this week, and it's not very often I get to talk about food at church. I like to talk about food, but do you guys like fruit?
Yes.
What's your favorite fruit? Okay, you like them all then. Anybody else have an absolute favorite fruit? What is it, Izzy? Bananas. What is it, Tucker? Peaches. All right, and y'all, the rest of you guys can tell me all about your favorite fruit when we get to children's church. Well, think about it in your brain, and we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But fruit, if you're going to grow fruit, where does fruit come from? A tree or a plant, right? Mostly the time a tree. All right, what if I took a tree, an apple tree, for instance, and I just threw a seed out in my yard, and I didn't take care of it. I never made sure it got water. I let the weeds grow up around it. What's going to happen? It's not going to grow, right? It might sprout up a little bit, and the weeds can take it over. So fruit needs a good plant to grow. And if you got a good plant, you're going to produce good fruit, though. So over the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about what it means to produce good fruit and what kind of different fruits we produce. So I produce apples. Well, who else produces apples? Anybody else? I grow them off my fingers. You grow, where do they grow? Your fingers?
No, they grow
inside. Oh, no. So do you grow fruit off of you? But actually, you do grow fruit off of you. It's just not apples, bananas, or pear. We have fruits called the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. So we grow fruit of the Spirit, which means when we know and when our relationship with God grows, we grow good fruit. And we're going to talk about what some of those fruits are. But the very first fruit we're going to talk about today, and Pastor Don's going to talk about here in a little bit, is love. And so when we're going to look at what it means to love somebody, to really, really love somebody, and how to grow that fruit. And I'm going to share some scripture with you. This is Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. And it shows us how God gave us the perfect example for love. Did you know that? That He sent Jesus Christ to be the perfect example for love. Listen to this. It said, very rarely will someone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so while we were still sinners, knowing that we mess up, raise your hand if you sin. Let's see everybody else saying. Let's see, I sin. We all sin. Look at there, guys. So everybody sins. But God sent Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Is that not love? That God loves us that much that He sent Jesus to die on a cross for us? and to be that He is love, and He rose for us on the third day. And so we're going to go, and we're going to dive deeper into that love, and we're going to talk about what it means to love other people, okay? So let's bow our heads, and we're going to sit right here until we go out for children's church. God, thank You so much for this day. Thank You for loving us the way You do. Lord, thank You for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross in our place so we could be forgiven for our sins, only to be risen up on the third day. Lord, I love You and I just praise You so much and thank You for all You do for us. And I ask all this in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I don't know how many of us have actually been in a true valley between two mountains. There's a lot of danger being in the valley. There's a lot of wild animals lurching on the hilltops. And they can see us when we're in that valley, but we can't see them. So it's very dangerous and unsafe, unknown in a valley. But in our life, there's a lot of different valleys. Some of us have traveled down the valley where there's financial issues. Some of us have been in valleys where there's physical issues. Some of us have been in valleys of social issues. Valleys of jobs, school, worrying about your kids, worrying about your parents. Some of us have been down that valley of grief. Right when we get ready to throw the towel in because we're afraid to keep going down that road. Remember what God said. Be encouraged because He's with us. He is going to carry us through. And you know, we don't see that happening at that moment. We just want God to take us out of that valley instantly. But He's carrying us through. And once we get to that other end, we're ready to praise Him. So remember what the Bible said. Be of good courage because God is with us. And all those mountaintops you have been on, same God on that mountaintop is our God in that valley. So be of good courage.
I want this love.
Today our scripture reading comes from Galatians chapter 5. As we begin the series of sermons, as Chad introduced, on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are listed from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through verse 26. But before I read from that, I just want to ask you to continue to pray for those on the prayer list. I know Sandra's in some pain right now. We have several people who are going through a lot, and so it's really important to pray on that prayer list daily, if possible. Also to pray for all those who have started back to schools, for the parents, the teachers, the kids, even those in college. The freshman class just moved into Gardner Webb yesterday, and so a bunch of us helped them move in. And, you know, some of them, mamas don't want to tell their babies goodbye when they're leaving them for college. So, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. May God bless the reading and the hearing of His Word. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, as we come to You this day, we pray that You open our eyes and open our hearts to Your Word, so that You may be able to teach us, to comfort us, to challenge us, just to speak whatever You need to speak to us, including myself, as we explore the fruit of the Spirit. Guide us, and may You be blessed by this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, whatever sermon I'm going to preach doesn't compare with the sermon that was preached earlier up here. I mean, that there really is nothing left to say after that. That was truly a very powerful sermon. But today we look at the first of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Love is heavily used in our culture, but probably is one of the most misunderstood terms. As a matter of fact, in the Greek, there are three different words for love. The first is eros. That is not used in the Bible at all, and that's more about emotional love. And you say, oh, I love bananas, or I love shrimp. Oh, I love that outfit. I mean, we say, use that word love, and it's how we feel emotionally at that particular moment. But that's not what real love is all about. Love does involve emotions, but it does not feature the emotions as the primary feeling. It is felt. But what we're talking about love today is something different. As a matter of fact, there's two other words for love, both of which are found in Scripture. The first is phileo. It's where you get the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. If you've watched a Philadelphia Eagles football game, I'm not sure that they live up to that. But nevertheless, we find that brotherly love is another type of love. This one is not just emotional. It requires some work. And so you think of brotherly love as a kind of love that we feel that either an actual brother or sister or someone we love as a brother or sister. And the third type that's only found, it's not found anywhere else in the Greek, any Greek writing until the Scriptures. And that is the word agape. Agape is God love. It is a love that originated with God. It's unique. It's different than the other two types of love. But the problem is we have one word and it could refer to any of those three. That's why it's so easily misunderstood. Well, why is love so important? Well, Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? As he was approached by someone trying to trick him up, And he got up and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. Both of these are quotes from the Old Testament. Jesus didn't just make this up. He is quoting Scripture as he is saying these things. But what's remarkable to me is the fact, love, when asked what is the greatest commandment, it begins with the word love. Loving God, loving neighbor. That love is so pivotal that Jesus uses that to describe the greatest commandment. So we see that God defines love, God expresses love, and in John's gospel, even commands love. John 13:34 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And he refers this as a commandment, not a suggestion, but he calls it a commandment in John's gospel. To love is to fulfill the law. That's why Jesus gave the answer he did. Colossians 2:2 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. So obviously, love is very important. Well, how do we distinguish between brotherly love and God love? Well, brotherly love, you know, when you're either an actual brother or sister, when they get in trouble, you want to go there to help them. You want to be their support. Now, I teach a class in which I will identify five important Chinese characters, characteristics of relationships. One of those is kindness, as shown from a brother. Well, I ask how many, from an older brother to a younger brother, and I ask the class, how many would use the word kindness to describe your relationship with your older sibling? Not many say yes. That's a perfect word for it. Most of them use words like target, pincushion, I mean, all kinds of other things. But the thing is, it's not perfect between brother and sister. Why? Two brothers can fight worse than two enemies. Why is that? Because the brothers know exactly what buttons to push. If you want to aggravate them, you push this button, and you know exactly what to do or what to say. If I want to aggravate my oldest daughter, I just start singing the Barney song. She can't stand Barney. And that she just gives me that look. You just went there, didn't you? And the thing is, all of us that know each other as brothers and sisters know what buttons we could push. But true brotherly love, as guided by God's love, is we choose not to push those buttons. And that we come to each other's rescue. And that's the true spirit of brotherly love. But even that does not fully help us to understand what Jesus said when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. As I said, agape does not appear anywhere else except the Scripture. But it is the primary word used to describe God's love. Basically, as I try to define God's love, it is a willingness to do, willingness to go to any length in order to take care of the needs of the one who is the beloved one that you love. It is to love so much that you want to give yourself away just to make sure that all the needs of that other person are met. And I think that's what's described in the Bible as in Genesis it describes that a husband and wife would become as one. You become as one because you're giving yourself away to the other person and it's reciprocated. And the idea that it creates a oneness, a bond. This abundant love is first poured out from God to Israel because God described Israel as his bride. The same love is expressed to the whole world by the coming of Jesus, in which literally God gave himself away because he loved the world that much. He literally gave himself away. Unlike brotherly love, godly love must generate from God. We can't fake agape love. You just can't. Because at some point you say, hey, I'm giving myself away, but you're not giving yourself away, and, you know, I'm going to stop trying. Godly love takes a lot of work. It's not an easy thing, and it's not condition-based. God loved the world even when the world did not love him back, and they chose to live in darkness, as John 1 describes. But for us to love with agape love, we have to get it from God. We have to understand what that love is from God and then ask God to have the ability to share that love and express that love to others. It begins with God. And love is expressed from God in the fact that we're alive and sitting here today. By the fact God gave us this creation to be able to look at and see the beauty in it. For crops that are allowed to feed us. God has shown his love in so many ways, but nothing compares with the expression of sending Jesus Christ, coming into the world and giving himself away, even to death on a cross. When we experience God's love, we're invited to respond to God. These people that were baptized today, their sermon was, yes, they are choosing to accept the life and choose to follow Jesus. But both of them accepted an invitation that began with God and spoke directly to their heart. Because that's how God works. He invites us. He invites us to experience his love. He also invites us to be able to share that same love with other people. We can only do this because Jesus remains with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we can only love others with a godly love if God is the one filling our tank with godly love. And if God's not filling our tank, that tank's going to run empty and non-godly love is going to be coming out. That kind of love does not come naturally, nor does it come easily. As a matter of fact, it goes against the very fabric of who we are as a human being. We're taught to be independent, to be self-reliant. Those are some of the values we're taught as Americans. We're very hardworking and seek to be able to be independent, but when it comes to God, that doesn't work. We have to be dependent upon God. And it's very hard to hand over the keys to God. You know, I remember oftentimes with my father, he always had to drive. He was always the one. He didn't want to be the one in the passenger seat. He always had to drive. And I would sit over there back when you could fit three people in the front seat. And so my mom would be over there in the window. My dad's over here. My dad's driving fast. And my leg is getting scarred because my mother's digging her claws into my leg as we're driving. But when it comes to God, we have to give up the keys. We have to love God with the same love he loves us, which means we want God to be pleased. That's why we worship. That's why we gather. That's why we study his word, because we want to glorify God. Because we love God with the same love he first loved us. One of the most beautiful pictures of this kind of love comes from Peter's final words with Jesus. And again, because of the word, the English word love, we miss out. Peter had said adamantly he would never deny Jesus. Jesus said, "You will deny me three times." And we know from scriptures that Peter did just that. He denied Jesus three times. After Jesus rose from the dead and appeared with him, Jesus is having a conversation at the end of John's gospel with Peter. And in the English, it just says, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "Of course I do. I love you." Peter, do you love me? Three times. Peter, do you love me? Each time he responds. But there's two different words for love that are being used there. He says, Peter, do you love me with a godly love? Peter answers, I love you like a brother. Peter, do you love me with a godly love? I love you like a brother. Peter, do you love me like a brother? I love you with a godly love. And it's in the third time that he admits that he loves him with a godly type love and not just a friendship. And we lose that because we don't use different words for the different types of love. And Peter's able to say finally, I love you with a godly love. The importance of this conversation leads us to point to the fact that we must first love God with a love that is generated from God. With a love demonstrated through faith, and with a love that goes beyond our natural ability. God has to teach us how to love. It just doesn't come natural to us. That it has to be something that's generated from God. And Paul is pleading for the people here in Galatia. Galatia is one of the few churches that's actually not a church, but a collection of churches in what is today modern-day Turkey. He said he wanted them to embrace the fruit of the Spirit. This church had to deal with a lot of controversy. They had the so-called super apostles there, or Judaizers, if you will, that said they had to be circumcised before they become Christians. And Paul is saying, no, you don't. But the fact that Paul starts his list of the fruit of the Spirit with love is no accident whatsoever. Because it is love that hinges together all the other fruit. If you don't have the love of God, you don't have the patience. You don't have the kindness. You don't have the perseverance. All of those things starts with love. Love is the one that holds them all together. It's the glue that puts all these characteristics together. Without love, none of these others are even possible. The Bible teaches us that although love can be felt and expressed through our emotions, godly love is expressed through patience, kindness, endurance, caring for the needs of others. In short, real love, godly love, is a lot of work. It's not easy, but you're willing to do it because you're so invested in the other person or invested in God that you want to be able to do it. Real love requires sacrifice, persistence, and a deep commitment, and a desire to work things out even when they're not easy to work out. And the community of faith, or the church, must be a place where other people can observe that godly love. That yes, in Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. But instead of button pushing, we're going to love each other and hug each other and be there for each other and strengthen each other. Without love of God filling our hearts, we cannot be a positive witness for Jesus Christ to our community or to the world. The greatest expression of love, of course, is 1 Corinthians 13. And if you will indulge me, I've written a paraphrase. A paraphrase is just putting in my own meaning for what I get from that particular passage. This is a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13. If I can preach the greatest sermons or argue the best cases in court or sell the most goods, but I don't have love, what have I really accomplished? If I have a doctorate in several fields, win the Nobel Peace Prize, or the bestseller in the New York Times list, but if I don't have love, I've gained nothing. And if I have faith to travel to the most dangerous areas of the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I don't have love, what have I really gained? if I were to auction off everything I had and give to charities, or if I were to sacrifice my body for dying for my faith, but I don't have love, have I really made a difference? God defines love as patient and kind. God's love is not jealous, boastful, arrogant, or rude. God's love is unconditional. God's love is not irritable, resentful, nor does God hold grudges. God's love does not celebrate seeing the faults in others. It celebrates trust and virtue. God's love stands the test of time. God's love can be trusted, and God seeks the best for each of us. And God loves, endures through all circumstances. God's love lasts forever. But as for preachers, lawyers, and salesmen, a time is coming where words are not enough. As for the doctors and the Nobel Peace Prize winners and best-selling authors, a time is coming when their actions are not enough. As for the philanthropists who give away everything or the martyrs willing to risk their life, a time is coming when their generosity and dedication simply are not enough. Let's admit it. Sometimes we say the right things, but often we don't. Sometimes we do the right things, but often we don't. God is bigger and better than we can dream of being. A day will come when we will see the world with God's eyes and we will discover what is really important in life and how we wasted so much time on things that really didn't matter. When I was a child, I used to think the world revolved around me. I thought my wants and needs should be everybody's priority. I even pouted when I didn't get my way and cried. When I became a man, I realized the world was much bigger than my wants and needs, but also that God was bigger than the world. I learned that having the whole world means nothing if you don't have someone to share it with. I need God's love. Now the mist is moving in from the mountains and a fog is setting over Crestview. I wish I knew more about God's love for me and how I could love others with that same love. Someday, I will be so much better at it than I am now. I still don't understand everything about God and the world, but someday, I'll be able to make sense of things that I've experienced in my life. When we sift through the craziness and busyness of life, three things emerge to every human being in the world: faith, hope, and love. And although faith and hope are essential, love provides the glue that holds our lives together. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we pray that we would not only experience your love, but we'd be witnesses of your love. Not just in the words we speak, but with how we handle the challenges of life, because life is tough. But then learning to love like you love is also tough. But I pray that you give us the ability to experience your love and then to share that love with others. May we give ourselves away to you as you first gave yourself away to us, so that people may see Jesus inside of us and they may come to know the joy that we have experienced. But most of all, to know that love. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
As our altar is open, would you stand as we sing page 489, Lord, I Want to Be a Christian, 489. Would you stand, please?
Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Christian in my heart,
in my heart,
in my
heart,
in my heart, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. Lord, I want to be more loving in my heart. In my heart, Lord.
in my heart.
Conference today. Never mind.